Time for a Stank Gang podcast, and time to talk about Midwestern State Volleyball with Stephanie Radecki. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast, and be sure to come out and watch Midwestern State Volleyball. The four-game homestand continues on Wednesday night against Lubbock Christian, and then there's another match a week from Wednesday against Eastern New Mexico. The homestand started this past weekend, and it was a tough start to the homestand for Midwestern State. Let's go ahead and just start and talk about the Permian Basin match. There were some kind of half chances in the Permian Basin match to get into the match, but I got to give Permian Basin credit. I thought they played pretty well.
Yeah, they played really well. I think their middles played extremely well. They were able to shut down our middle attack, and so we really depend on that. And I think that was a little bit deflating. And, you know, when we made a push in the third and we felt like we had a chance to finish that set, we just weren't able to put the ball away. So it was a little frustrating to finish, especially in that match at home versus that team. We really did feel like we could do some things. And, you know, it just really comes down to a lack of experience right now. And we're still trying to just progress and get better as a team. And hopefully, if we stay focused on what our actual goals are and how we can get better every day, then we'll be able to start to stay on task to do that.
You're talking about putting the ball away. That's what Angelo State did.
Yeah, they do that very well.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it.
I think
Kennison, I believe is her name, the outside hitter. Mm-hmm. I think she had 19 consecutive kills without an attack error.
Yeah.
And I think she finished with 19 kills, and eventually, shockingly, she had an error. I mean, they just played great volleyball when they came in here on Saturday.
Very talented team, very deep team. They play really well. They're very disciplined, and it showed on Saturday.
Is it a good thing for your young team to see a team like that, to see this is where we want to get?
Yeah, I think so, and I think they acknowledge that, and I think you know, obviously, any team that comes into our gym, we know right now is going to be a challenge for us, just because we've had a lot of adversity this fall and youth. And so, like I said, as long as we can stay focused on getting better every day and what are the things that we can control and what are the things we can do well and trying to do those even better, then, you know, that's the main focus right now.
How tough is it emotionally for a young team to kind of deal with this adversity you're talking about?
I mean, I think it's tough. I think it's a grind right now. You know, I think
we're kind of in the dog days of the season.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we started out, we had a great weekend at home. We went on the road and I think we competed really well, but we played really strong teams and we weren't able to win a set. And then it just kind of from then it starts to create a weight on your shoulders. You know, I think I'm sure you've heard me say it before and any coach say it, winning leads to winning and losing leads to losing. It takes a little bit more grit to kind of dig out of that when it becomes a habit. And so obviously it's been difficult for our team, but I think that they've done a really good job of just continuing. They come to practice with a great mindset of getting better. I think last week we had a great week of practices. Yesterday we had a great practice. I felt like we did some really good things and we got better in a lot of different areas. And so they've done a nice job at that. And I'm really proud of their ability to do that, because it does get to be grinding.
And you could see that on the team, but you know what else you could see is that this is a group of girls that enjoy playing volleyball.
Yeah, they do.
They
were,
in every time out, I was paying very close attention to their body language. Mm-hmm. They were attentive. Sometimes loose has a negative connotation. I don't mean it in a negative way, but you could see they were relaxed,
right.
I guess is probably a better word. It didn't seem as though they were tense. But there were times after the end of a point, you could see they were frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it looked like they were able to turn the page. And we saw that in the games. You made runs during the game. Even after Angelo State had a remarkable 12-point run, you were able to kind of turn the page and make some runs at them.
Right.
Obviously, it was too little too late. But
yeah, and we came out strong in the third set and did some nice things. So, yeah, that it's good to see.
Individually, and I know it seems like I'm bringing up the same names every week, but these young players are impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And Elena Guerrero just continues to seem like, and we talked about it a little bit in the one of the broadcasts, and because you talked about it in the podcast, you're giving her a lot of responsibility, but she seems like she's handling it pretty well. She's playing pretty well for you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she has a strong volleyball IQ, and it shows when she's setting. I think we've used her as a hitter at times. I think we've used her in a role where she's set in the back row and come out in the front row, and we've used her as a front row setter. And just, you know, we've tried a lot of different things to try to keep the girls continuing to grow and focused on what our goals are at hand. And she's done a really nice job in all those roles.
She's sixth in the conference right now with 7 assists per set, despite the fact you've used her in some other roles.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a really good number for her. And then you've got Isabella Dickens, who's hitting .277, and that's a very respectable number, and that's among the conference leaders.
Yeah, I mean, Bella's been very consistent all year. I think as of late, we've struggled getting her the ball as much as we need to. We've also moved her around a little bit from the middle to the right side, and yesterday in practice used her on the outside some. So we have a lot of versatile hitters. That's been nice to see. I think Jaden had a great match on Saturday, put up really good numbers after she didn't play Friday. She had been sick this week, and so that was really good to see. And I think Elise Smith does some really good things this weekend, kind of breaking into the starting lineup and bringing a lot of intensity to the floor is something we need.
And she can hit the ball.
She can. She can bring some power.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it seemed like she enjoyed getting that opportunity to start.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
You could see it when she was out there on the floor.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Jaden, and she's leading your team right now with 31 blocks, getting over 2 points per set. So I know it sounds like we're kind of beating a dead horse maybe, but you got a lot of freshmen that are playing, but they're progressing and they're playing well.
Yeah.
And eventually all of this is going to pay off for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think we have great personnel. We have great people. They're good volleyball players. They're good athletes. And I believe that in all those areas, they can become great. Part of the challenge right now is getting them to believe that, because as we know, that can be a challenge in athletics. But, you know, every day we're just going to keep reminding them of that.
I was really impressed with the effort of Robin White this past weekend. She came out. She had a heavy tape job. It could not have been comfortable, but it seemed like it didn't seem like it bothered her. She seemed like she was playing at 100%.
Yeah, I mean, she's in a different role than she's used to. I know early on she was playing a lot more, so I always know that I can put her in the match and she's going to do everything she can to help us.
I think it was the Friday match. You brought her in the second set, and it seemed like she kind of brought a spark to the floor for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone that's come off the bench for us has done a nice job.
What leads to that?
Well, I think it's just reminding them that where we're at right now, that changes are going to happen and that they just need to be prepared for that. I think one thing, you know, I always remind the girls is that I'm not really someone that pulls people in and out of sets, is that I usually make changes between sets. And I think that they appreciate that. I think it's very difficult to be kind of subbed out in the middle of the set or put in the middle of the set. It's usually like between sets we make changes.
I also saw and it's not a big deal, I just thought it was interesting. Between the second and third sets, you were huddled with the coaches, but it was Lauren Bernay who was talking to the team between the second and third sets. What's your thinking there?
Well, I think Lauren does a great job. She's a captain. She's a leader. She's a senior. She wants our team to be successful. And anytime that things need to be said, she has no problem saying them. So it's nice that we have that. And I know that her teammates appreciate that.
So Lubbock Christian's coming in here Wednesday night. They're 9-5. They're 1-3 in the conference. They're coming off losses to Dallas Baptist and UT Tyler. Lost both of those 3-1. In fact, they've lost 5 of their last 7 matches. They started the season with a 7-match winning streak. It looks like they're a pretty good blocking team, at least based on what they did this past week. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think they're very athletic. They're a strong team. Great coaching staff, so they're well coached, and they compete. They're a very good team.
They've got a husband and wife coaching tandem.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? And we have that here with women's basketball
yeah.
now. And we had a podcast with Bernita and her husband, who's her assistant coach. Could Could you imagine that kind of...
Well, I guess I would have to imagine having a husband first before I could imagine coaching with him. But I don't know if it's something I would enjoy or not.
I've been married 30 years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's a semi-successful marriage at this
point.
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't know if we would have made it 30 years if we were working together. That's an interesting dynamic, and we see it really... As the example at Lubbock Christian, we also see it at Angelo State with women's basketball. We mentioned we have it here at Midwestern State. But I know you and I have talked before, you and Jennifer are great friends, and there's a great dynamic there because you guys have been coaching together for so long.
Yeah.
I'm sure she finishes your sentences and vice versa.
Yeah.
How important is that relationship between a head coach and an assistant coach?
I mean, I think it's really important. I think loyalty is everything. You know, without having a staff that's loyal to each other and to what the head coach wants of the program and what their mission is, then you really don't have anything. So, yeah, I think it's really important. And it's been really fun to watch Bernita and Kevin work together and coach together. And I think it's going to be really fun this season. Their team in the gym looks really impressive right now. And we're just really excited to watch them start competing soon.
So you've had some interaction with them?
With
Bernita? And
yeah, I mean, we work together. Do you think we don't ever see each other or talk?
Okay. yeah, that's what I think.
That's what I think. We share a locker room. We got to talk to each other.
It just seems like, because, and I don't mean this, I'm not trying to insult anybody here, but...
But you're going to.
But probably I'm going to. But coaches seem very myopic to me.
Oh.
Like, you're...
That's a big word.
You're focused on volleyball, and you're into volleyball. And I'm always surprised when I talk to Justin as well, and I've talked to him about this, because Justin Leslie, the men's head basketball coach, he follows all the... I saw him at the men's soccer game the other day.
Yeah.
He follows all the teams. I've seen you, by the way, I should also mention. Stephanie, I've seen at almost every sporting event at one time or another.
I try. It's been hard this fall. I got to get better, but we just haven't been here when they play much.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, we try.
Yeah, you can't be two places at once. Nobody's expecting that of you. We were expecting a lot of you, Stephanie, but we're not expecting that.
Yeah.
No, I wish I could be two places at once because it would come in handy.
Yeah, especially when you have to cover football and we don't get you.
Yeah, I know. But fortunately, I'm going to be here for this entire homestand. You know what's nice is you're playing these Wednesday games. There's no football on Wednesday nights.
Right.
So hopefully we can get a good crowd on Wednesday night. How tough is it to get a crowd in here on a Wednesday night?
Well, honestly, I don't know that we've ever played at home on a Wednesday night yet since I've been
here. Yeah, right. I'm not sure that we have.
I don't think we did. Last year, I feel like we were on the road on Wednesdays. So I guess I'll let you know.
When you're on the road, is it a different vibe with the crowd in these midweek matches than a weekend match? Are you even in tune to that?
I don't think I've ever noticed it. I don't know. I don't
probably have other things to worry about.
I can't even remember where we played last year on a Wednesday night. I was trying Eastern New Mexico. We played on a Wednesday night. It was a weird vibe for me because it was like a 4.5 hour trip on a Tuesday night.
Portales will give you a weird vibe anyway.
Yeah, it does. It's a nice place.
Yeah.
When your bus works.
So you've got Lubbock Christian. What's going to be the key to get a victory against Lubbock Christian?
Well, I think one of the hardest things to always say and harp on with our kids and our team is that we have to be a lower error. We've been too high error. And, you know, it's always a give and take. Like, you want to be aggressive. You want to find opportunities, but you just can't error all the time. And so that's something we talk about a lot in practice and obviously during timeouts and what type of errors we're having. And how we can eliminate kind of the...
Because there's some errors you can live with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like if you're being really aggressive or, you know, you're going after a big kill and you get blocked, like those type of things, those aren't bad errors. I feel like versus UTPB, we had a lot of bad errors, mostly when they would send over a free ball or down ball and we'd automatically be out of system or not take advantage of that. I think that's a...
It seemed like you missed a lot of balls well wide in that match as well.
Yeah, so those are things we definitely need to do better at. And then, we're going to have to play gritty. We're going to have to play good defense. And
you're doing that. I think you're leading the conference in digs, by the way.
Really?
Is that...
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
No, I think we're playing good defense. Sometimes that happens when you're not blocking a lot of balls.
I was going to ask you, how do you, because we had this last year where I interpreted a stat one way and you corrected me.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, that's a great thing to have. We want to dig a lot of balls. And I traditionally, I know it's kind of funny if you ask Shane Herman, who was our sports information director at North Alabama for 14 years. Well, I worked there. If we ever had the best blocking team in the conference, he would say no. So it's just coaching style wise, I stress more defense. Training blocking to me is a little bit high risk for injuries. And I guess I've, you know,
there's a lot of teams that have success without necessarily being great blocking teams, though, right?
So I think just philosophy wise, that fits with what I've done in the past. So I'll take it.
Well, Stephanie, as always, it's fun talking to you. And we're looking forward to this Wednesday night match against Lubbock Christian. And looking forward to the final two games of this 4-game homestand. And thanks for coming in and doing this. Thanks for putting up with my nonsense.
Thanks for putting up with mine.
Stephanie Radecki, the head volleyball coach. Thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast. Be sure to tell your friends and be sure you're at D.L. Ligon Coliseum Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, as Midwestern State tangles with Lubbock Christian. I'm Pete Stein. So long.